You consider that part of your job, Harvey, to give a man back the dignity he once had? Your only interest is in how he behaves. You'll conform to our ideas of how you should behave.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You were a number. You weren't a man. You want to be a human. I wasn't Jim Crow. And hell, I was number 586.
Africa.
And at CKUT.ca. My name is Sarah DeAy, and you're listening to a show about theater on the radio. From drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between, professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known as Jojage in the Ganiagaha language and Munyang in the Anishinaabe language, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end in French and English. I'm your host, Sarah DeAy, live in studio on Thursday, January 12th, 2023. If I haven't had a chance yet, Happy New Year, bonne année. I think that's it for now. We're like 2 weeks into the new year, and I'm going to stop starting every single text message and email chain with Happy New Year. But lots to look forward to this first month of the year. Our guests on tonight's show meet the new owner of the Wiggle Room, burlesque performer Frenchie Jones. From servitude to Ukrainian resilience to generational trauma, The Wild Side continues its pandemic-ish format, a mix of theater, music, and now movies. We'll speak with curator Rose Plotek a little later on. And before the end of the hour, Glitch invites young theatergoers into the basement of a mysterious abandoned theater. What will we find inside? The art of play without limits. I'll speak with creator Helen Long before the end of the hour. It's a snowy night in Montreal. I think we're going to have a little bit of a break from the snow for the next couple of hours, but there's a storm headed our way. Expect it to really, I guess, thicken up or increase in the next little while, and we're supposed to get another 30 centimeters of snow before the end of the day. So take care as you're getting around, or hunker down at home with a hot chocolate, whatever you need. And our very first guest of the hour, and our second guest in studio in this kind of post-pandemic reality, because we just started going live again last fall, I'm very happy to welcome to the studio Frenchie Jones, owner of the Wiggle Room, burlesque performer, and newly minted burlesque host. Welcome, Frenchie.
Thank you. Hello.
Thanks so much for being here. How are you doing?
Pleasure. I'm great. Thank you. It was a little bit crazy getting here, but it was... I'm really happy to be here.
I'm so glad you could be in person. So thank you for taking the time to do that. Congratulations. You came into ownership of the Wiggle Room space.
Thank you. I did. I'm very proud of that. Yeah. It's been a couple of years in the making, and, we finally did it.
I mentioned the Wiggle Room from time to time, but I want to set the table so that folks know what it is. As a venue, it's actually only not a couple of years, more than a decade, I think, now that since the doors have been open.
9 years.
9 years. Yeah. Almost at a decade. Mm-hmm. Meant to kind of bring a playful spirit back into the main. So it is across the street from Schwartz's.
Yep.
It's close to where the old Ripples used to be. Mm-hmm. Lots of vaudeville performances, a lot of burlesque performances, and then space for other things as well. I think you have sometimes you have classes there during the daytime, or you used to.
We used to. Now Arabesque had classes with us. Now they have their own studio, and it's a really beautiful studio on St. Tobias Street. So check them out too.
So kind of still fighting its footing, would you say, in the in this pandemic world, or?
We kind of got rid of the last vestige of the pandemic, in the sense of we removed our center stage that we had because of the spacing needs that we had to do. So now we're back to the theater, like all'italienne, you know, like with the space that is designated for, like, the curtains and the stage.
So more traditional format.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So how did you come to work at the Wiggle Room? You were a general manager for the last couple of years or so.
For 9 years, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you've been with the organization through the whole journey.
Yes.
And so how did the ownership thing come to be?
The ownership came to be because I think Jeremy, the owner, was a little bit tired at a certain point, and we had talked about me taking over eventually, and it kind of happened in that sense. He helped me throughout the transition, and he's still helping me, and it's a very amicable thing. We were partners for 9 years in this thing, so it went really well.
So you have had your foot in the, obviously been making sure the place runs for years and years and years. What is that transition like for you to be now what I might call the boss? I don't know if you would call yourself the boss.
Yeah, well, I've always been the boss.
Boss and owner now.
Yeah, okay. Boss and owner now. It's strange because it happened at the beginning of December, technically. But then we shut down for 2 weeks during the holidays, right? We're dark for 2 weeks. So it was very strange because I was like, I've got all these ideas, let's go. And then we had to stop for 2 weeks. And then, so I've been waiting for 2 weeks to get it started again. And now I'm back at it, and I have all these projects that I want to do and all these things that I'm very excited to do. Wait, what was the question again? That's my superpower. Yeah. I forget questions.
Well, just that you were, as a general manager, kind of making things run day to day, and now you're the owner, as you were kind of saying, now you have ideas that you can really put into action, and you're kind of brimming with all these thoughts.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have the thoughts. It's another thing to actually make them happen.
Exactly. I have a beautiful team that helps me with that. So as you can see, I just demonstrated that I have a lot of ideas, but I forget my train of thought sometimes, and
I have people
that are there for me and are helping me get things done.
I want to know more about you and your journey with burlesque. Yes. How did you come to the art?
I discovered burlesque a very long, 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 long time ago when I was crashing a party with my brother in New York, and I saw burlesque for the first time. I was super inspired by it. And so when I came back to Montreal after my trip, I started looking for my burlesque community in Montreal. And the first people that kind of introduced me to burlesque were Team Burlesque. I don't know if you remember that troupe. It was Cesca Lee, El Diablo, Miss Sugar Puss. So they were
my the vanguard for a couple of years.
Yes, exactly. So we I started helping them out with their sewing their underwears and doing things like that, and helping them out when they were doing these burlesque plays, and it was all very exciting. And then after a few years, I did my first burlesque performance. There was not really any schools back then. Mm-hmm. It was like you dive in and you try to do as much as possible to kind of get as much stage time as possible. So
yeah, and you're picking up the tricks of the trade from the people that you're almost apprenticing yourself to.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really when we had that kind of neo-burlesque rise.
Yeah. With that, I think with Team Burlesque in Montreal, it happened, I guess, in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. It came from New York originally, that neo-burlesque vibe there.
I'm speaking with Frenchie Jones, who is the new owner of the Wiggle Room, has been involved with the venue for years and years, since the very beginning, actually, I have to specify, and is a burlesque performer herself and also a host, too. I'm looking at the listings every week, which, and the shows, they're like nearly all sold out every single week. I noticed that you were starting to host, and I thought that was kind of neat. Because there wasn't always an appointed host necessarily when you would go on the website to see who's coming up. I would do that for work just to see who's performing this week. And that's kind of a new wrinkle for you, at least as a performer, to be hosting.
Yes, it is. I started in last March. Didn't know I was going to love it that much. I really, really enjoy it. It was so much fun. You just get to interact so much with the audience. And that's like my thing that I really like. Like if you come to a burlesque show at the Wiggle Room, it's very different than any other burlesque show mm-hmm. that you go to, because I go through the crowd. I talk to people. I kind of de-dramatize the situation, make people feel comfortable because people don't know what they're coming to see sometimes. And they're a little nervous. So
really? At this point?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. But it's all fun and people are very excited to come in the room. So it's like, it brings like a really cool vibe. And so because I talked to everybody at the beginning, when I got on stage, they're like, oh my God, I know her. And I have this really beautiful connection with the audience and it's really, really fun.
You're almost like guiding people.
Yeah.
And welcoming them in.
I know. It's like a little 101 at their table of what's going to happen, what we expect from you. Yeah.
What do you tell them? Like, besides, you got to clap a lot, right?
Yeah, you have to be loud. You have to be really, really involved, because if you're stripping for crickets, it's really, really difficult, yeah. right? So you have to be really, really involved. They have to bring money for tipping. That's always a good thing. We have these little sections where people can tip. And we just want people to have like a really good time. So we're trying to get them a little loosened up and just like, I get to know where they're from and how they've heard of us and things like that.
Yeah. And are people finding out through word of mouth, through online? Like, how do
I think so.
You?
Yeah. I think most of it is online and word of mouth. I have a lot of people from New York that come up apparently because friends told them. It's like a reoccurring thing, like 3 or 4 people per night or group per night. They're like, oh yeah, my friend from New York came and they loved it. They told me I had to come. So it's a lot of word of mouth. So,
and that must be special for you because you discovered burlesque yes. on a trip to New York. Yeah. And here you have people coming up from the Big Apple.
Yeah. No, it's really lovely. It's kind of a little boucle.
I can't help but wonder, hosting seems like a really hard job because you got to be there at the beginning, the middle, you're coming on between performances, and you're there at the end to yeah. say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're doing a performance, you're stripping down, you're getting yourself worked up for one thing, but then you're done. It takes a lot of stamina to be a host.
Yes, it does. but I also, the kind of thing that I was doing beforehand, before I became a host, was still like responding to every need of everybody during that time. So I was still on all
the
time.
As a general manager.
As a general manager, yeah. I would like go on stage, do little things with the hosts that were there. I would go backstage, check with the performers, see if they needed anything, if they had special requests, things like that. So I was on all the time anyways. So it's the same level of energy. It's just displaced. Now I have people that help me do the rest of it.
But you're front and center. Yeah. Are you still performing as a burlesque dancer as well?
I am. Yeah. Not as often because I don't have as much time. But yeah, I just did the Imperial Burlesque Canada, which is a competition yeah. in Montreal, Red Light Productions. So I was one of their judges cool. for one night. So I got to perform and I do my little weird things because I'm a weirdo.
Tell me about your persona or your style when you're on stage.
I'm really good at either comedy or gore. Oh. So it's very
strange. A mix of the two ever or just always separate?
it's quite separate because okay. I feel like they're two different personas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my burlesque that I like to do in the recent years has been more like on the gore side. I do comedy really well as well.
So paint me a visual. Does that sometimes entail a lot of fake blood on stage? Or is it like scary? Like,
yeah, it's more scary. I like to do things that are based off of horror movies. So mm-hmm. I have a jigsaw act. I have the Samara, which is a little girl from The Ring.
Oh, yes. Who comes out of the TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So those are my like signature acts that I have right now that are more gory.
I have to say, here today in studio, you've got beautiful hoop earrings in, your hair is pulled back, and you've got beautiful, like,
super long
gem
nails
that are, like, sparkling all the yes. colors of the rainbow. So it's fun to kind of be, like, I'm having trouble imagining you coming out of a TV with long, scary black hair.
I know.
Cursing somebody. But that's the fun of it, is that you're putting on different personalities.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's really, well, normally in Halloween, you'll always see me with long, long black nails because I know I'm going to be doing a few of those numbers. So my nails are prepared for the shows. but if I don't get booked, then I usually have like these beautiful, colorful nails.
Oh, they are gorgeous. Yeah. And I think we're going to take a photo after. We'll put it on the show's Instagram page so we can see it. That is the voice of Frenchie Jones joining me in studio here on Upstage. New owner of the Wiggle Room. It's a new endeavor for her, but she's been involved with the venue for years, performer as well, and a newly minted host. You say that inclusivity is really important for you.
Absolutely.
So tell me what that means when it comes to day-to-day performances and the atmosphere you're trying to foster in the Wiggle Room.
Well, we're just making more efforts to have BIPOCs and anybody that's marginalized basically is welcome, and we try to put them on stage a little bit more. Yeah, we try to go and get that in our staff as well, in our so our booker is Ira Lee Vanity, who has Ira Lee Vanity Productions, who has a show tonight, Totally 80s, which you should totally come and see.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we just try to have as many BIPOC performers and inclusivity in all of the facets that it could need.
Right. So when you're going to see a show, you're going to see a mix of people from different backgrounds, and you're also trying to kind of even the playing field, because it's going to be harder for people from racialized backgrounds, I assume, to get a toehold.
Yeah, exactly. In the business. So we're trying to push them forward and give them space.
Interesting to also note that a Montreal area performer was recognized as one of the top burlesque performers in the world or on the continent.
Number two.
Yeah. Lulu La Duchesse de la Rière, whose t-shirt, whose merch you're wearing today.
I sure am.
And this news broke, I think, a little bit before the holidays.
Yeah,
Actually, you note that this is a list of top 50 performers, and there's actually a couple of Montrealers on the list.
Yes, there's three that are from Montreal on the list. Montreal is a really powerful turning plate of burlesque, I think, right now. And we've got Lulu La Duchesse Derrière, we've got the Foxy Lexi Brown, and we've got Zyra Lee Vanity, who is also our booker at the Wiggle Room. So we're very, very proud of it. Yeah.
So what does it mean, not just for the Wiggle Room, but for the scene in Montreal to have that kind of recognition?
I think it's going to put us a little bit more on the map. I think people are going to acknowledge us as a place where good performers come out of. I hope that's going to give us a lot more visibility and bring us some more people in our community and in our world. And yes.
Is it hard for people to get started as performers? Because you were saying that you you teach a little bit at Arabesque Burlesque, which is like kind of like the place, whether you want to get into it or you just want to learn about it and maybe get fit, for instance, or try to have a new challenge. You look for talent that way, right?
Well, they apply to they have to go through a certain list of courses before they can get to my class.
Yeah,
because I'm kind of the graduation class where you do your first solo, or you do a solo. It doesn't necessarily need to be your first one, but we do give you like a roadmap of how to create numbers, how to develop your persona, and a lot of like great tips and how to perform and be a good performer on a local and international stage as well. So
very different from when you started out.
Yes, no classes when I started. No, j'ai appris sur le tour.
That is Frenchie Jones, the new owner of the Wiggle Room. We're having a chat about the venue and the art of burlesque. Interesting thing about you that maybe people don't know is that you have the inability to feel stage fright. Is that right?
Yeah, I call it my superpower. I'm neurodivergent. So there's like, you know, when you're neurodivergent, you have superpowers, and one of them for me is not to have stage fright. So, which I realize I actually have stage fright in life, not on stage. So
like here right now?
Yeah, or anywhere. I'm just a nervous person in general. Mm. But on stage, it all disappears and I become this persona that has this beautiful and lovely demeanor and is not nervous at all.
you hear from some people that have that are neurodivergent that it's stressful. It's hard to, you have to learn things a different way, learn to interact with people. I won't assume that's the case for you, but it's a challenge in life. Did you ever think, assuming that is something that you've had to deal with, did you ever think that that might end up being an advantage for you somewhere down the line, like it is today, not having stage fright?
No, I think I decided that it was going to be an advantage a few years ago, but, before that I didn't even realize that I was neurodivergent. So I just thought I was a really nervous person and I just like, you know, I was just doing silly things and I couldn't remember things. And I was just, you know, the undiagnosed neurodivergent kind of thought, process. But, no, now when I learned that I was neurodivergent, I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense. And then I realized that I was really exclusively talented in certain areas and not talented in others. So I was like, I'm just going to focus on the really, the ones that I'm really talented in.
So how does that work for you that you might be nervous if we were to bump into each other waiting at the bus stop or at the checkout line at the grocery store?
Yeah.
But when the lights are down and you're in full makeup and costume, you don't feel that?
No.
You don't feel nervous at all?
No. No, I'm at home on a stage. I'm really, really quite comfortable.
Fascinating.
I know, it's weird, eh? Yeah.
That must be such a switch for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I'm talking to people in the audience, it's kind of like I'm on stage for me. It's basically just shifting into my masked persona that I have to put on to be on that stage. But it's very, very freeing. I can't really explain why it works, but it works. So I'm just going to run with it, you know?
Absolutely. Frenchie, it's been such a pleasure to get to know you.
Lovely.
Thanks for coming in on the eve of a snowstorm.
Yeah.
Where can we follow you online?
Just follow The Wiggle Room because it's where I do all my social media things on there. And yeah, come to see shows, everybody.
And you guys are very active on Facebook as well. That's how I follow all of your events. So
on Instagram and Facebook, yeah.
So Wiggle Room MTL on Instagram and Wiggle Room on Facebook, and then wiggleroom.ca to buy tickets.
Yes, exactly. Correct? Thank you so much.
Of course. And what's coming up this weekend?
So tonight we have the Totally 80s show, and then this weekend we have our regular scheduled signature shows for the Wiggle Room.
Fantastic. Yay. Thanks so much, Frenchie, for coming in.
Thank you for having me. This was so lovely.
Frenchie Jones, the brand new minted owner of the Wiggle Room, general manager since the Wiggle Room opened up 9 years ago, almost 10 years now, and as well as a burlesque performer and also host. So you can see Frenchie performing this weekend. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. My name is Sarah De A. I'm your host this hour. Still to come, Glitch by Bouge de la, which invites kids into the basement of an abandoned mysterious theater. It's a very playful show. It's at La Tohu this weekend. But at first, hey, Brian, do you have the interview ready for... Yeah? Okay, so why don't I introduce the interview and we'll go right into that, okay? Awesome. All right, so the Wildside Festival is back. This always comes out with a bang in January. Now, usually for Wildside, you see 5 to 6 shows, mix of things from Montreal, Toronto. There's always usually an international act of really fun, kind of explosive theater. With the pandemic, that format has changed drastically. I'm invited on Rose Plotek, the curator, now in her 4th year at Wildside, to tell us about what to expect for this year. So first of all, it's not the traditional Wildside as described. There is a mix of theater, storytelling, music. There's a movie element as well, which is really cool. It's not all happening at Centaur Theater either, and it's running over a longer period of time. The 16th of January, this coming Monday, all the way until February 11th. This is my conversation with Rose Plotek from earlier today to tell you about what you can expect at the experimental theater festival, Wildside. Welcome, Rose, to Upstage. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Just a couple of days away from Wildside launching for 2023. Mm-hmm. The festival's changed so much in the past couple of years. Is that mostly the pandemic kind of throwing a wrench into things?
Yes and no, but I would say primarily no, because when I came to the Centaur, which was during the pandemic in 2020, one of the things that Ida Holmes, the artistic director, brought me in to do was to kind of help reimagine the festival and what it could offer. And the real shift that she was interested in making was to bring the focus back to the Montreal community and the more kind of experimental theater practitioners that we have in the city, of which there are many who do incredible, exhilarating work, and that there's not always a physical home for them to, let's say, develop that work in. So that was a big instigator. And the other big instigator is an ongoing attempt to continue to bridge the divide between the solitudes, the French and English community, and really create more conversation between those two communities. So this festival takes another big step in that direction.
So let's start with the big play that's going to be happening starting on this coming Monday. I did speak with John Lachlan Stewart last week about this triptych of a triplex filled with terrifying triplets.
Yeah.
But I'd like to hear a little bit more about Wildfire in your words. Also, great name for Wildside.
Yeah,
Wildfire,
I know. Wildside. The number of times I've mistyped either one is many. Wildfire sits within this ongoing collaboration with which we have with La Chapelle Sainte Contemporaine. This is our fourth year collaborating with them for the Wild Side. And so that's a really exciting collaboration. And we've been able to really kind of like deepen it and reshape it every year. And so this production, which is by Talisman Theatre, is just like a perfect fit, because it is totally wild, as you just summarized there. Such an incredible group of artists, faces that will be like familiar to Montreal theater goers, just an incredible cast, like such a great cast of people. And John is such a fantastic and vital part of that English-French dialogue, because he's so committed to bringing plays from the French world into the English world and vice versa. So it's kind of like, it just fits perfectly within this ongoing kind of shifting mandate that we have both within the Wild Side and as Centaur. So that's the thing that I'm just like so thrilled about. And so that show will be happening at La Chapelle. And as you said, it opens on Monday.
And this focuses on triplets, right? But also multi-generations of one family.
Yeah. And what's great is that like these actors, you know, it's not what you would assume when you look at them. Like there's some good surprises within what these kind of the actors then embody within the production.
Okay, English language premiere of Wildfire coming up this Monday at La Chapelle. The other one is a project that was at La Chapelle. I caught it last fall, Project Les Bonnes, which translates to the servants or the maids, which brings to mind the famous portraits of the maids who are plotting nefarious things. And this has actually roots in a very old play, which then has roots in a kind of true crime story. So tell me how did it cross your radar and why did you think this was a good fit for the festival?
Well, I saw the production also in the fall, and I knew a bunch of these artists. A lot of them have previously been involved with the Wild Side. And I loved the production. It was really exciting. And they only got to do two performances out of their run because one of their company members got COVID. And so when we were putting together the festival in the fall, when their show got canceled, I immediately thought that it would be a great opportunity for them to get a chance to do a full run of the show. The show is like genuinely wild. It's like scenically incredible. It's trilingual, so it's French, English, and Spanish. It's a really bold take on this, you know, classic Jean Genet play. And it's set here in Montreal. So I was really excited to be able to offer this incredible kind of up and coming company a spot in the festival, because their production had been kind of cut off at the knees. And so it's just a great opportunity for, I think, a broader audience to be able to see the show. And Jean Genet's play is so surprisingly contemporary when you come back to it, even though it's you know, fairly old now. And Roxane's update of it is really exciting. And so I think it's a great offer and it fits so well within the shape of the festival.
I'm speaking with Rose Plotek, who is the curator of the Wildside Festival 2023. How many years has it been since you were, you've been involved with Wildside?
This is my fourth year.
Oh, wow. Already. Mm-hmm. Feels like yesterday.
I got one in pre-pandemic. And then since then, I've been rolling
In 2020?
I guess January 2020. That was my first festival that I curated.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Wildside Festival starting this coming Monday, January the 16th, and running until February. So there is something happening in February that I thought was really interesting. Ahead of the anniversary of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, planting an apple tree touches on, it's actually a Ukrainian theater piece. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, so this is a Ukrainian play by Irena Harets, and it was written within the last year. As you said, the production will be just ahead of the one-year anniversary of the invasion, and it's a beautiful, really touching, but like very poignant and full of kind of ferocity play. That really asks a lot of questions about survival and despair and rage and fear. And it's being put on by some of the like grand dams of experimental theater. It's being directed by Leslie Baker and performed by Claire Coulter, who is like an icon of kind of independent Canadian theater. And what is so wonderful about this, I think, is that these are really like, these are the roots of experimentation in our city, are these artists. And so it's really exciting to be able to put them in the festival again. Leslie's been part of the festival before through our collaboration with La Chapelle when she put on Skin 2 years ago. And so this was a piece that they had done a short excerpt from last year. And I approached them about continuing the collaboration that they had done together and putting on the full piece. And so I think it won't be a sort of conventional monologue type piece, because nothing that Leslie does is conventional.
No.
and it really feels important and urgent to be presenting this work. And as part of the presentation of that show, we're doing a number of music nights as part of the festival that are being curated by the wonderful Sarah Siegel-Lazar. And Sarah's got a night of protest songs that have been written in the last year, Ukrainian protest songs that have been translated into English. So it's going to be a really special night of these Ukrainian pop songs that people won't really be familiar with, but that are so like vital and of this moment. It's going to be a really exciting night. So that's going to be on the Friday run. So that's February 10th for that.
And the project. Whole run is the 8th to the 11th of February.
That's right. It's a short run. Yeah.
And planting an apple tree will be at Centaur. We'll back up a little bit, because earlier in the month, the first and the second Theater for One screenings. So that doesn't sound like theater, because it is film screenings, but there is a theatrical element to it. So I'm really excited for you to kind of deconstruct this.
Yeah. So this is a project that's been sort of ongoing at Centaur for almost a year now. We started about a year ago. The Centaur got a grant called Digital Now, which was a project that the Canada Council started through the pandemic. And the project has a filmed component and will have a live component. So six Montreal actors selected a monologue of their choice. And three of us, myself, Ida Holmes, and the incredible Jessica Carmichael, each directed two of the actors in short films of these monologues. And they were all staged in their film way within the Centaur building. So they kind of roam around the building, these six pieces. And so we're going to have a screening of those as part of the festival. We worked with an incredible, like, top-notch crew to make these, the wonderful cinematographer Michel Bolduc, and sound composer and sound designer Alexander McSween. So people that like would be familiar to the theater world, but also are very much entrenched in the film world. So we're going to have a series of these screenings. And then in April, audiences can come back and see those same actors perform them live. And part of the idea of the project is to facilitate a conversation around the difference of, you know, what that different quality is to have something captured on film versus the live experience.
Okay. I'm speaking with Rose Plotek, who is the curator of the Wildside Festival 2023. It's really such an eclectic kind of block of programming. So we've talked about live performance theater, this theater for one screening, which is going to blend monologues and film. We have storytelling confabulation on the 11th. This one is about, like, which is, it's a storytelling series, but this one in particular is about very raw stories, as I understand it.
Yeah. The great thing about confabulation is you never know what the stories are. So, you know, every time it's like you get the title and it's very, it's so exciting to see what's on offer. And sometimes there, I think the confabulation that's happening this week, there's going to be like 25 storytellers. So that's really kind of elastic how many people you get to experience. But I'm always so pleased to have confabulation as part of the mix of Wildside because it's such a great event. And it's really so, it's so palpably live because you're really experiencing that story in the moment.
So that'll be February 11th, and that's going to happen, I guess, after planting an apple tree that particular night. And then we also have music running alongside it as a current alongside the programming. We mentioned the Resistance Pop fundraiser for planting an apple tree, but you also have music to go. We probably should have talked about this when we talked about Project Bun, Les Bun, this experimental piece that was cut short in the fall. But there's music to go along with that, and that's at the end of the month.
Yes. And those, because this is a piece, so Projet des Bonnes, Jean Genet's play, originally written in French, translated in this context, trilingual production. Sarah's curated an awesome night of music that are songs in translation. So songs that we might not be familiar with the fact that they originally came from either English or French. So there's going to be a really exciting mix that kind of plays along with this theme of this kind of language switch that happens throughout. And also Projet des Bonnes will have surtitles so people can come and experience it in whatever language they feel comfortable with.
Why do you think people should go see experimental theater?
Well, I think it's just offers something that's new and exciting. It's just refreshing to experience things that are kind of outside of the box. I think that it's a great element of the Centaurs season because, it's a grand old theater that presents, a kind of more traditional storytelling approach. And so it's really just so vital to be able to once a year kind of shake up people's expectations. And I think, challenging people's expectations, leads to exciting conversations.
Rose, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Sarah.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Sarah DeA. That was my conversation with Rose Plotek, who is the curator at the Wildside Festival at Centaur Theater. It's a fourth edition that she has curated, and this edition is in collaboration with La Chapelle Scène Contemporaine. Starting this Monday, you can check out Wildfire by Talisman Theater at La Chapelle. We spoke with director John Lachlan Stewart last week. This is about the triplex with the family trauma in the triplex with the there's another TR word there that I'm triplets, twisted triplets with a toxic family heritage. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Projet Les Bonnes will be coming up later in the month. The Ukrainian stories, Planting an Apple Tree, will be February 9th to the 11th. And then Confabulation, Me, Myselfie, and I will be later in the month. I'm just going to pull it up for you. Yeah, February 11th, after the presentation of Planting an Apple Tree. And then there's music series to go alongside with all of those. So for details and more information, you'll want to head to centaurtheater.com. Tickets are $25, 18 for students and seniors under 30 subscribers. And you can also call the box office, 514-288-3161. We are rolling right along here on this edition of Upstage, January the 12th. As we brace for a winter storm arriving tonight and into tomorrow, but it should be cleared up for Friday night. If you are looking to head out the door and check out live theater and performances in the city, I'll have some suggestions for you before we wrap up. And one of the things that's on my list for this weekend is a show called Glitch. It first made its debut in the fall, and now it's about to go on tour across the province, kicking off some performances this coming weekend, tomorrow and then Saturday. Glitch is presented by Bouge de la, which is a contemporary dance company founded in 2000 by Hélène Langevin. And the idea is really to create works for young audiences. They've reached nearly 350,000 young spectators in Canada, as well as in China and Mexico, which is very, very cool. Glitch is the ninth creation of Hélène and Bouge de la. We meet four young people who enter a mysterious basement in an abandoned theater. And if that doesn't get your like interests going as a young person, I don't know what will. Hélène joins me on the phone to bring us into the world of Glitch. Bonjour, Hélène. Welcome to Upstage.
Hello, Sarah.
Thank you so much for being here. So tell me about your premise for Glitch. Tell me a bit more about the story.
Okay, well, the first thing I did, like, through my eyes, which was really colorful and for the younger one. And then I want to, the next piece, which is the glitch, I want to do something more for the older one, a more strange one, another kind of word, not to be scary, but strange, bizarre. And I thought, like, I love it to see stranger thing, you know, how parallel words. A word, Le Monde Parallèle.
The Netflix series where there's the upside down world that the kids go venturing into. Okay.
So I was looking for how can I do that with dancer and the stage, you know, and not the Cirque du Soleil. And I explore, and then I met a guy who was doing laser. And in the party and in the laser, I danced. Oh my God, the laser! It has so much possibility. It has shape. It's surrounding the physical world. It's not like light. And light is an ambiance, you know. It's blending. Mm-hmm. Laser, c'est découpé. C'est la lumière découpée. You can make a circle, and you go in a circle of the light, or you can the laser can move. So I said, oh my God. The laser is la porte d'entrée, the entrance of my world that I want to create. So when the four small young teenager goes in the abandoned theater, usually in a theater, there's always a ghost. I don't know if you heard a story about ghosts that stay in a theater, but now it's the glitch who live in the theater. And the glitch is the fifth personage, I should say, English?
The character?
The fifth character. And the glitch has power. He's directing the game. So as in the old theater, there's a suitcase, but the road case. And inside each road case, there's some costume, some mask, some other articles. So the glitch direct open this box here, and then they open up, and there they find costume, and then they transform themselves. They wear the costume, and this is what makes the dance with the costume. So every box that will be opened up, it will bring another kind of dance. And I was aiming strange dance, not to be beautiful dance, ballet dance, theater. No, a strange dance. To be in a strange world. And it's very... It's very fun to do, and it works well. And the children love it. The teenagers love it. I show it with the sixth grade. It was And usually the sixth grade, oh, my God, are they going to like it? They just love it. So this is 12 years old. From 6 to 12, that's very good. And the glitch, also the magic of the laser is the glitch. It changed the texture or the quality of the movement. Sometimes if you're in the glitch light, you will go faster or slower, or you're going to shrink, or the glitch will direct you to go somewhere. So it was very interesting to play with that. So that's where the people are coming to see Atatou. It's glitch, another kind of word of dance.
I'm speaking with Hélène Langevin, who is the founder of Bougelat Dance Company, geared to younger audiences, and we're talking about Glitch, the show that is about to embark on a province-wide tour with performances tomorrow and Saturday at La Tohu. Hélène, I shared some photos from the production on the Instagram account for Upstage CKUT, so at Upstage CKUT, and I think I'm getting kind of a vibe of the visuals, the entrancing, mysterious visuals that you're describing with the lasers. There's one really cool one where we have two performers that are wearing animal masks, like full-on masks. Yes. Someone has a deer mask, another person kind of like a rabbit. And you can tell with the lighting, there's a lot of green and red and blue, and it looks absolutely captivating. So if you want to have a look at what Ellen's describing, you can visit us at Upstage CKUT. So tell me about your four performers who are in this spectacle in particular. Are they people with purely dance backgrounds? Are they actors? Yes. Are they coming from circus background?
No, they're dancer, professional dancer, contemporary dancer. Mm-hmm. And I will name them. You have Marianne Gignac-Girard. Mm-hmm. You have Chloé Ouellette-Payard. You have Gabrielle Surprenant-Lacasse. And you have, at the Tohu, you will have Carlos Mendoza. Mm-hmm. Usually he will substitute José Flores, who have the COVID. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the life now.
Oh,
but
dear,
he's doing a really good job. No problem. So that's the reality now, you know. So you can hurt your muscle and you can get the COVID. So
yeah.
We deal with that.
Yeah, it's always been a thing that people might fall sick or hurt themselves before a performance, but COVID is like, it's still a going concern for performers.
Talking about the dancer, I just want to add, the contemporary dancer, but for me, when I do my style of dance, mm-hmm. it's always a mix of character and dance. It's a mix with theater and dancing. So there are characters who are dancing. They have emotion. They talk. They can name them. They can be afraid. They can. So it's more. It's not pure abstract contemporary dance. That's not it. I'm very visual artist. So light is important. The stage is important. The ambiance is important. And what's the emotion, the feeling, those younger, at the beginning, they're scaring, you know. You don't know when you enter a world that you're not supposed to be there. There's a sound, alarm bells, but there's alarm light. You don't want to get caught in those alarm light. And this is very exciting, you know. And the dance is moving a lot, you know. It can mm-hmm. be very physical. And then it can be very quiet and poetic, and then could be surrealist, and this is strange. And then, you're questioning also the children when they see the show, or the adults. Everyone like it, you know? And so that's where they're going to see.
Hélène, you've been talking about the lasers and the lighting and how that plays an important role in the presentation. Is it true that you just met a guy who specializes in lasers at a party and then you got him on board for this? Is that what I heard correctly?
Yeah. Well, it was Jimmy Lacatos. In the 80s, I met him. One on Saint Laurent. You know, we were a lot of artists mixing. And then I went to a party, and he had those lights going down there, and then a DJ, and I just moved in the light, and I said, oh, my God, that's interesting, and I play with that. And then I met him and said, hey, Jimmy, I think are you free to be one of the artistic Mm-hmm. You know,
to work in theater?
Like yes, a concepteur.
Okay.
A
designer.
A designer with your laser in my new project. And I talk about my project. I say, oh, yes, I would like it. And it was because of the pandemic, I had a lot of residency to work on the laser, to develop the image. Because when you start with a new tool, which laser is a new tool, there's like 100 possibilities. And he showed me, oh, I can do that, I can do that, I can. And every time I say, oh, wow. But when you're doing a show for children or whatever, you have to aim, okay, this is just like, this is fun. Ah, this one is interesting for the body. I will work on that one. Mm-hmm. And then once we decide which kind of laser to work on, then in the studio, we work on the dance that will be going inside the laser, the light of the laser. So it was different way of working. Instead of starting with the body, I start, okay, this is the light, the laser light. It will make us move like that. And then we move on the studio. So it's a good thing that I had residency. So we were really, it was terminé.
To wrap up?
It was really wrapped up for a long time before we could do the premiere. Okay, we're ready now. Okay, we have to wait again 4 months. Okay, but we're ready. We know what we were doing. And I had time to show it to kids, school kids. And now we are at Atelier, and I'm very excited to be in Montreal for the general public. So, And we still have tickets also on Friday, tomorrow. They still have tickets.
And there's a performance also for families Saturday at 11, which is such a great time for people on the weekend to bring their kids to the theater. So you've been producing these works with Bouge de la for over 20 years. You were founded back in 2000 with the idea of bringing contemporary dance to young audiences. Yeah. You must take that really seriously as an inspiration and as your daily work, right?
It's my passion. I won't work for dance for adults. It's not suit me. Okay. I'm not interesting. It's because I'm a creative dance teacher since I'm 20 years old. I know how the kids like the movement. They like to move, and I'm a physical dancer also. I like to improvise, to do a lot of improvisation. And when you're showing dance to kids, it's the body of the dancer that's talking to the body of the children. It's a one back and forth. You're not going through intellectual. It's a physical kind of thing. So dancing is very good for all children, even the boy and the girl, the younger one. It's like it's a direct une entrée directement dans la physicalité.
Okay.
And that's what's interesting. And for me, as an artist, I feel very free to create whatever I want. I can add shadow, I can have text, I can have movie on, I can have crops, I can have whatever I want, and I can make surprise. Like doing thing on the stage, it's magic. The light, what you can do, you can disappear people, you can bring them on. And for the children, it's like a magic place.
Yeah.
And I like to work the imagination and the magic. And so they're always inside of the show. They're never bored with me. Never.
Is there something that people might assume or get wrong about young audiences that you want to dispel, like dispelling a myth that people may misunderstand?
Misunderstand?
I'm wondering that, you know, with young audiences, like, is there any kind of myths or generalities that people might have that maybe, they're not sophisticated enough, or you need to kind of explain things that may not be true in your experience?
Okay, no, because for me, a lot of things of the parents, they told me they love the show as well as the children, because it's a way of of showing them what dance is about. Dance is not just people moving, doing abstract gestures.
Yeah,
Dance is about its emotion. It's a story. It can be a storytelling. You can also, because I'm working with kids, for kids, I always have a dramaturgy. It's a red line, not a red line, but I'm following a dramaturgy so the children can follow it, you know? But the dancing is the following path, and they understand it. It's like, let's say, I drew an image. I'm working, let's say, on the angry. the emotion angry, you know? So instead of thinking, and instead of shouting, oh, I'm very mad, the body will be angry. It will be doing big gesture and kicking and scratching and really force. We call them force movement, you know? So this reflects to be angry. Mm-hmm. And the kid will say, oh, no, she's very angry at that moment, you know? But it's the dance who's carrying the angriness. So that's why the people, all the show, they are different. Bujola show, they're all different. And but it gives them, to the adult, cue to understand the dance or to appreciate the dance. And the dance is for them also. And me, as an artist, I just love theater, young theater show. It's like a puppet, young theater puppet. I will cry. Because if you are on stage, you have to be a really good comedian or a really good dancer, because you have to communicate to the public. It's not a selfish thing. Mm-hmm. You have to communicate your idea.
Yeah.
And I cry sometimes on show if I go see in a festival dance or theater, youth dance theater festival, puppet à Outremont. I cry sometimes, you know. It's like, it's very, I encourage people that have no kids to see that show for kids or theater show for kids. I encourage them.
Ellen,
they would be surprised.
Ellen, it's been such a pleasure to get to know you and learn more about what inspires you. And thank you for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure, Sarah, and hope you come also.
Hélène Langevin is the creator of Glitch, about to embark on its Quebec tour after playing some shows earlier this fall. She is also the founder of Bouge de la company, bougedela.org, for more information about what they do. They've reached over nearly 350,000 audience members since they were founded back in 2000. I was about to say 2000 and something something. Glitch will be at La Tohu this weekend, so tomorrow at 9:30 and 12:45. I think those are performances for students, but perhaps, as Ellen was suggesting, there might be tickets for the general audience. And then Saturday, January 14th, this weekend at 11 o'clock for families. So latou.ca for more information there. And as she was mentioning, it's a story about four people, young people, who enter the basement of an abandoned theater, and they uncover trunks with costumes and props inside, and there's lasers, as she was very excited to talk about. A very big thank you to my guests this evening, including Ellen Langevin, who you just heard there, Rose Plotek, who is curator of the Wildside Festival, which is back starting on Monday, running until February 11th, centaurtheater.com for more information on that. We also spoke and met Frenchie Jones, who is the new owner of The Wiggle Room. She's general manager since its inception, just about 9 years ago. Also a burlesque performer and also a newly minted host. She has started to be the host for all of these events. Very big thank you for my guests tonight. You can hear past episodes of Upstage at our archives at ckut.ca, including my interview from December on the 15th, I believe. And then we replayed this on the 21st, if I'm not mistaken. The 29th, of one of the performers who is a standby for Come From Away, which is coming up, actually running right now at Place des Arts. Through to Sunday, he was set to perform at least on Sunday. And then if someone gets sick or gets injured, God forbid, he gets called up to play one of the roles. And that means he's had to master 22 different accents because Come From Away is set in Newfoundland just after the September 11th attacks, and there's characters from all over the world and Newfoundland, North America, and all the actors have to learn like 5 or 6 accents, but because he's a standby, he had to master 22. Quite incredible. So that's one of the things you can check out this weekend, Come From Away at Salle Wilfrid Pelletier. The Myth of the Ostrich continues until Sunday at the Siegel Center Studio, and Johnny Legdick, the fabled rock opera, is at Théâtre Sainte-Catherine with a performance tomorrow night and then two Saturday nights. So plenty of things to check out this weekend. Rodney Ramsey, very funny guy, is also headlining at the Comedy Nest this weekend. Very big special thanks to Jack Soler, our spoken word coordinator. A very big thank you to Brian pushing the buttons tonight. I'm your host, Sarah Day. Speak with you next time on Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca. Have fun. Stay safe. Up next is Grey Matters with my friend Fortner Anderson. Talk to you next week.
Radio show on CKUT 90.3 FM. Every Tuesdays from 9 to 11 a.m., we are traveling through Africa with some nice music. My name is Karine Micro, and I would like to thank you for being with us every week. Please be aware of our new email address, which is bassabassa@ckut.ca. And just like that, we are hitting the second half.
The global outbreak of COVID-19 has affected all our lives in various ways, and it has notably drawn our attention to the intensified systemic racism and selective xenophobia towards our racialized friends in our Canadian society. It is understandable for each of us to feel anxious about this fatal disease. However, the sentiment of fear does not give us the right or the opportunity to conduct hate crime and to discriminate against our Asians, Blacks, Indigenous, and other racialized friends. It is not okay to associate the COVID-19 disease with Asians, particularly those of Chinese descent. It is not okay to conduct physical and psychological abuses towards racialized individuals. It is not okay to vandalize Asians and other marginalized owned businesses. We must stop normalizing and stop accepting racist conducts and hate speeches towards all racialized communities. Rather, in these unprecedented times of global pandemic, together, we must educate ourselves and others and be eager to understand race, systemic racism, and racial justice in Canada and elsewhere. Remember, whoever, wherever, and whenever we are humankind. We must learn to stand together as citizens of the world for a healthier, safer, and happier community.
Good evening and welcome to the January 12th edition of Grey Matters. Tonight on the show we have a lecture in